the Lord and we thank God for all that He's doing. How many remember our theme for the year?
We are
all yes, all of us. Amen. And tonight we truly, with this day and age we live in, watch the news and so much is happening, so many odds against the church succeeding. But I heard somebody say, if God be for you, who then? God before you. Who then can be against you? Amen. As we watch all the calamities and catastrophes that are taking place in Baltimore, sometimes it's kind of hard to figure out how you try to get a message across by destroying your own place.
Yes.
That's kind of hard to figure out. Amen. Reminds me back in the, I believe, the 60s, Watts. Yeah, that's the first book I read all the way through. I never forget it. Burn, Baby, Burn. Because I didn't read books that was more than 100 pages thick when I was in school. 100 pages was my limit. That book was about 300 or 400 pages thick. And I read it all the way through. And it's hard, even back then, to imagine how people get a message across, destroy their own neighborhood. That's a hard thing to figure out, but we pray for Baltimore, and amen, as Minister Simon said, those that had an earthquake, little baby, it's almost heart-wrenching to watch all the things that are taking place. But how many know we're blessed?
Hallelujah.
How many know we're blessed? Verse 1 said, they're going out by the
grace of God.
Grace of God. Now, tonight, we're going to deal with a very, very good subject. Not to deal with this subject, right? We're not going to deal with nobody dead. All right? We're going to deal with somebody alive. But the two individuals we're going to deal with tonight, Abraham and Moses, they were both key religious and spiritual leaders in Israel. But they were not perfect. Both Moses and Abraham were key spiritual figures in Israel, but they were not perfect. Amen. So we're going to deal with it. Let's go to James chapter 2. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from James chapter 2, verses 17 through 23. Two key figures, but they weren't perfect. How many know you're not perfect?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know I'm not perfect. Amen. But what made them acceptable in God in their imperfection, they always humbled themselves before God. And the scripture says, if my people. Anybody God's people, can we give God a legal form? It says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves. See, you know, you want to get to be acceptable of God, you have to be humble. Humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn. So what Moses and Abraham did is when they were found out in their wrong, they humbled themselves. They prayed, they sought the Lord's face, and then they turned. Turn means to not repeat the same thing again.
Amen.
Right? Even though Abraham did repeat it. Right? In the case of his wife Sarai. But they just shows you that we are all human. Right? And in our humanity, a lot of times it reveals a frailty or weakness in us. Our humanity reveals a frailty or weakness, and God understands it because the scripture, he says he was our high priest and he was tempted in all points like as
we are.
Amen. All right, I don't think y'all stand too long, but I'm standing on one leg, one good leg, two good legs, one good leg and half a leg. No, amen. But let's stand. Let's read, starting in James chapter 2, verse 17 through 23. Amen. Do we all have it?
Amen.
For those who do not have it, we know it's where?
On the screen.
On the screen. Screen. Verse 17 reads, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone.
Yea, and having
said, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe
But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said,
the word of the Lord is blessed
already. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So once again, we're dealing with two key spiritual and religious figures in all of Israel and in the church. Amen. Because of Abraham, faith of salvation came to all through the seed Isaac. Amen. But it starts off by saying that if you don't, faith without works is what? Dead. So a lot of times we say we have faith, but God permits us to go through situations so that our works will measure up to our faith. Many times when we don't understand what God is doing, we say we have faith. Everybody has faith, right?
Right.
If you got the Holy Ghost, you got faith. Because the scripture says, how receive you the Spirit? By the words of the law, by the hearing of faith. So if you have the Holy Ghost, you have
faith.
Amen. When you first got saved and got filled with the Holy Ghost, you had faith. Your faith has not changed. But circumstances and conditions have reconditioned you. Not changed you, but reconditioned you so that the faith that you initially had has become dormant. And your initial faith is dormant. Why? Because of circumstances. Because of conditions. So the scripture says, faith without works is
dead.
So God wants to show you your faith. Well, how does he prove we have faith? By our
works.
Right? Everybody can have faith until it comes to actually the application. What we're dealing with Abraham here, and let's just get down for the sake of time to verse 21. We realize that faith without works is dead. Amen?
Amen.
You're with me, right?
Amen.
Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Well, what showed that he was justified by work when he did what?
Offered his son.
I was his son upon the
altar.
Amen. So Abraham had faith. But if you read about it in Genesis chapter 22, the Bible said God proved Abraham one more time. God wanted to know what was really in Abraham's heart. Whether Abraham loved God or more, and then he loved Isaac more than God. Now, a lot of times, God will test us. Remember this. God will test us in an area, not that he intends us to go all the way through with a sacrifice, but he wants to see our willingness.
Amen.
Just like he did with Abraham. When Abraham was at the brink of slaying Isaac, God called out to him from where? Heaven. He said, stop, Abraham. He said, now I know that thou lovest me more than your son Isaac. So there are many times that God would bring us to a brink of sacrifice. And in our minds, we're trying to figure out how God's going to do it. Now let's just use Abraham for an example. When God told Abraham to go slay Isaac, and Isaac was all nations to be what?
Blessed.
Right? All nations were going to be blessed through the seed who was Isaac. So when God told Abraham to go slay Isaac, if Abraham slew Isaac, how could all nations be blessed through his seed? Isaac. Right? How could that be? So then if Abraham had begun to rationalize with God, like, well, God, this doesn't make sense. That you're asking me to do something to prove that I love you, and it's the opposite of what you've already promised. When God asks you to do something that just doesn't
make sense.
How does it make sense? This is the blessing, but you're asking me to slay the blessing. But Abraham, in his obedience, did what God told him to do. And as a result of doing what God told him to do, in verse 23 it says, and the scripture was fulfilled which says that Abraham believed God. Now, a lot of times we talk faith, but how can we really believe God? If we were Abraham and we had Isaac, and God said, now we know that God didn't believe in human sacrifice, right? Because he constantly talked Israel against. I ain't gonna step there, I'm gonna write that in the back. Y'all need to see what I'm doing, right? Now, I'm going to step down. I'm just going to step down in a good day and step back up. But a lot of times, we do things that just don't make sense. It didn't make sense that God would tell Abraham the promise. You want to slay it. Now, if that had been many of us, guess what we just start doing right away? Reasoning with God. Right? Rationalize. God, you're asking me to do something that just doesn't make sense. And besides, I have an emotional attachment with whatever this sacrifice is. Right? All of us have a different emotional attachment. This emotional attachment, I can't give this up for anything. God said, I'm going to test you until you show that you believe me. And what was the greatest test Abraham could have? He loved Isaac. And the scripture says that, now, Isaac was a type of Christ, and the scripture explains it, because it said, thy son, thy only son. Did he have other children? Yes. But it was something special about Isaac. What is that one special thing tonight that God has asked us to sacrifice that we are still holding on to? When God asks you to do something you still hold on, it's because you do not believe God. Yes. So the scripture said Abraham what? Believed God, and it was imputed or counted unto him for righteousness. And because God, he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, he was called the FRIEND of God. The what? Friend of God. But notice how the translators put a special emphasis on this friend. Right? Because if you look in most Bibles, I don't know if you're in y'all's Bible, but most of them I read today, show that friend is capitalized. Does y'all Bible have a capital F for friend? It shows that there was a spiritual significance. Whenever the words are capitalized, it has a spiritual significance. So it shows that Abraham had a special place. He wasn't just an ordinary friend. He was a friend of intimacy with God. In other words, they had a close bond, a close relationship. He was the friend of God. And also, let's go to Exodus chapter 33. We're going to read about another friend of God. And then we're going to go to John chapter 15. We're talking about friends of God. But were these friends of God perfect? No. They failed God. But in their failure, they humbled themselves. Amen. Even, it wasn't Hezekiah, which king it was before Hezekiah, but the scripture said how God reproved him, but he humbled himself. It's so important in our living and doing for God, we have to have a humble spirit. Because the scripture said, God resists the what? Proud. But he gave it grace unto the humble. A lot of times we can humble ourselves in some situation with some people, but God wants to see how we will humble ourselves totally. Do we have partial humbleness? In other words, we pick and choose areas that we will humble ourselves in, or do we have total humbleness? Amen? Exodus chapter 33, we're going to read verses, verses just 9 through 11 of Exodus 33. Now, the scripture says concerning Moses that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, like a man speaking to his friend. But was Moses perfect? No. Amen. Verse 9 reads, and it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle And the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent. And the Lord spake unto Moses
face to face,
and a man unto his friend. But was Moses perfect? No. Because in the case of when they were in the wilderness of Zin, and they had no water, and Moses and Aaron went before God, God told Moses, he said, go speak to the rock. But there are times when leaders can get frustrated by their followers. The people of Israel frustrated Moses so much that he went and instead of speaking to the rock, he spoke to the rock twice. But God did still usher out water, but as a result of this display of a lack of honoring and respecting God, because of what God told him, he said, now you cannot lead the people into the promised land. So was he perfect? No. But was he still a friend of God? Yes. So tonight, we don't have to be perfect, but we have to be humble. So the question of the subject that we're dealing tonight, if God dealt with us all one-on-one, could he call us a friend? If God were to deal with us one-on-one tonight, could he call us a friend? Now, Abraham believed God, and he did what God told him to do, and God called him a friend. He called Moses a friend because he spoke to him face-to-face. Now let's go to John chapter 15. Amen. Something we're all pretty familiar with. The issue or the concern tonight is, could God call you a friend? Right? And we're going to find out from Jesus. There's only one qualification to be a friend of God. Amen?
Amen.
So in John 15, starting in verse 1. This is 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he what? Taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that he may bring forth. Tonight, is a lot of purges. Are we bearing fruit?
That's
an individual thing that we all have to decide. Amen? He said, now are ye what? Well, what makes you clean? Through the word which I have. When we receive the engrafted word of God with meekness, God will cleanse us. Now he tells us that if you abide in
me,
now we're trying to find out, are we a, could God call us friends? Amen. According to the scriptures, he said, if you abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide
in me.
So we cannot isolate ourselves from God and his word and think that we can stay in God.
Amen.
Amen. We cannot isolate ourselves from the word and think we can stay in God. He said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are
burned.
If ye abide in me, and my words abide in
you,
if you abide in God, and his words abide in you, he said, ye shall ask what ye will, and it
shall be done.
Might be done.
Shall be done.
Possibly could be done. God said, you stay in me, and let my word abide in you. And then somebody said, well, what happens if I ask the wrong thing? If God's word is in you, you won't ask the wrong thing. Amen. If it's abiding in you, you won't ask for the wrong thing. The Bible said, the only time we ask for something and don't receive it is when we ask amiss. Then we may consume it upon our own lust. Right? Isn't that what the scripture says? We have not because we ask not. And then we ask God for something and we don't do it by abiding in him, we will ask for the wrong thing for the wrong reason. So God said, you're asking for this for a selfish reason. And if it's a selfish reason, God said, I will not give it to you. Because that's asking amiss. All right? He said, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done. And I'm going to switch. Oh, my God. Is that better?
Yeah.
Amen. I can't stand the humps. All right? But if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear
much fruit.
So shall ye be my disciple. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So how do I remain in the love of God? By keeping his commandments. Amen? Verse 11 says, those things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. So God's concern is his word abiding in us, so that your joy may be
full.
Somebody said, I don't have full joy. Is God's word abiding in you? Are you abiding in God? This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. The scripture said, greater love has no man than this, that a man his life for his friends. He said, you are my
friends.
Well, what's the qualifying fact? I guess everything. Let me try another one. What all that is. What's the qualifying factor to be a friend? If you do what?
Whatsoever
I command you. This is awful. If you do whatsoever I command you, he says, then are ye my
friends.
So in order for Abraham to be the friend, in order for Moses to be the friend, even though they weren't perfect, they did what the Lord commanded. And tonight, if we were to make a personal assessment of our own lives and ourselves, can we honestly say we do what the Lord commands? Can we say we really abide in Christ? Now, once again, God calls all of us to a special sacrifice. All of our sacrifices are different. The Bible says you ought to present your bodies a what kind of sacrifice? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your
reasonable
service. So what's the conflict to you presenting your body a living sacrifice? And be not conformed to this world. The scripture is saying you cannot think you can please God by acting like
the world.
Amen. It is impossible to please God. It is impossible to be the friend of God if you don't separate yourself from worldly trends and worldly habits. So when you act like the world, you cannot be the friend of God. Right? Because the Bible says, if any man will be a friend of the world, he is the
enemy of God.
So to be a friend of God, you have to separate yourself from the
world.
Are you with me? So, a lot of times we go to God and we say, God, it doesn't make sense. I'm doing what you tell me to do. But have we really separated ourselves from the influence of the world? Somebody said, well, I've separated myself. Well, if you separate yourself from the influence of the world, then we will do what the Lord says do. Right? And in doing what the Lord says do, one of the first things the Lord tells us to do to be like Christ is to be forgiven. Right? You're going to say with me, right?
Yeah.
Somebody said, you're going down the wrong way now. I know, but we just want to be saved. And we want to have God's favor. So you have to be forgiven. And the disciples said, Lord, how many times? Yeah, that's how many times I got to forgive this person. Have you ever forgiven somebody more than once or twice? Right? And then after a while, he said, that's enough. So the disciples were dealing with the Lord. He was telling them about forgiveness. He said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. And one of the times they were dealing with it, and they said, Lord, well, how many times do I have to forgive? He said, should I have to do it 7 times? The Lord said, no, 7 times 70. God said, you know how many times you gotta forgive? You gotta forgive so much that you can't even keep a count of it. But a lot of people say, oh, I'm so saved, and I'm on my way to heaven, I'm a friend of God, I'm abiding His word. But do we forgive? Amen. I'm not talking about partial forgiveness. I'm talking about forgiving all the way across the board. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm not gonna mess with people now. Because we're holding on to some stuff. But we want to be the friend. How can we be God's friend and we don't do what He says to? Right? If you want to be the friend of God, you have to keep His. You have to abide in Him and let His word abide in you. So the question is, what can somebody do too much that you can't forgive them of? What can anybody do too much that you cannot forgive them of? And the Lord said, well, if you don't forgive them, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. So tonight, in endeavoring to be like Christ and in endeavoring to be the friend of God, do we have a spirit of forgiveness? Do you forgive? You know, a lot of, it doesn't make a difference. Somebody says, well, I can forgive in church, but I'm dealing with people in the world. I gotta tell them just like it is. You're supposed to be the light of this world. You're supposed to be the city that is set on a hill. You're the salt of the earth. So can you turn your light on and off? Right? And that's the problem with many of us in church. We keep turning our lights on and off, but we try to get God's favor. You got to be the same all the time. You got to be consistent when it comes to God. You can't have an unforgiving spirit and think you can please God. God forgives us every day. That's why His mercies are new what? Every morning. The Bible says, you don't have to question His mercies being new because great is His. So God forgives us. Well, how forgiven are we? I can't go back digging up stuff from the 1900s. Anybody y'all around the 1900s? So I guess we'll be alive, right? I'm just trying to get y'all to smile. You look so serious. So serious. I just want y'all to smile a little bit. So I'll go back to the 1900s. Who's born in 1900? All right, Irene, put your hand down. Here you go. All right, none of us were born in 1900. Well, you know what? Some of us keep digging up stuff. And this is what God said. God said, I placed that individual did into the sea of. So God said, if I buried it, why do you keep bringing it up? God said, I buried that. It's gone. I don't remember. He says, your sins and your iniquities, I don't remember. Now, how do we keep bringing this stuff up? And we want to be the friend of God and do what God says do? Nobody is perfect. Right? So every time we bring up somebody else's past, don't you think we bring up ours as well? Amen. I guess nobody's mics in one word. Right? I'm going to switch up again. I got what I got? That's three more. I got six more. Alright. I can't, it bothers me to get click, click, pop, pop. And I say snack, crack, and pop, or whatever series of. But anyway. We keep bringing up stuff from the past. And we want to be like God. How can you be like God? I don't care if they did it last week. You know what? This is a new day. How do you keep bringing it up and you want to be the friend of God? Now let's go back to James chapter 2. We're going to go up a little further in James chapter 2. Amen? Just a little bit further in James chapter 2. We're trying to say, can God call you friend? Right? In order to be the friend, Jesus said, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. He said, then are you my friends. But we keep bringing up everybody else's faults and failures and how they messed up and this and that and the other. You know, when everybody asks me about something about the past, I say, I don't even remember it. You know why? Because I'm not going to allow the past to incarcerate me till I can't go forward. Whenever you stay bound in the past, you cannot go forward. Verse 1 reads, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory with. respect. In faith, you know what? You can't have respect a person. You can't pick and choose who you're going to do good to and who you're not going to do good to. God said you can't have the faith of our Lord Jesus with what? Respect a person. For there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have
respect to
him. If you show partiality, if you show respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then God said, you're not just partial, but have you become partaker of what? Evil thoughts. So we're trying to be like God, but we're picking and choosing. I like this thing and I don't like that. I can deal with this. You're going down the wrong way. I'm just trying to get you to be a friend. You can't be a friend picking and choosing.
That's right.
Amen. Jesus said, what I say unto
what?
I say unto all. Are you not then partial in yourself and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that
love him?
But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the
royal,
I want to be like God.
Amen.
So you need to fulfill the royal law according to what you think. Right? Because when you do it according to what you think, you become partial. You pick, you choose. You will treat this one one way because of who they are, and another one another way because of who they are. Amen. As I told you in the past, I had someone call me late at night, and I just got relaxed on a Sunday night at the church, and I was relaxed. And they called me up for something, and I was like, what? Are you for real? I just got relaxed too. But I said, you know what, if it was somebody else, I would do it. So I didn't feel like doing it, but I did it because I didn't want to be partial. Amen. And I thought about it, I said, Lord, you know, if it would have been this one or that one, I probably would have did it without question. So I didn't want to become partial, right? I didn't want to be partaker of evil thoughts. If you can pick and choose because of who a person is, that's not God.
Amen.
You know with me?
Amen.
If you pick and choose because of who a person is, that's not God. Amen. So a lot of times we become judges of evil thought because we say, hey, they know, what am I going to take them out for? What am I going to do this? I don't think it's anybody that's come to the church, period, that me and my wife haven't taken out to dinner, right? Whether some of them, I know you all are not the best of friends with, but we've taken everybody out to dinner, right? Everybody.
Amen.
Even some of those that you all don't even speak to a lot, we make it a habit to take them out to dinner. Why? Because we don't want to become partial in our judgment. Amen. So those that you all would consider the least, we take them out to dinner. We might still pay for it. We still take them out to dinner. But the scripture says this, you can't be partial. You can't, well, if it was so and so, I'd do it. But I'm not doing it for them. God said, you have just been judges of what kind of thoughts?
Evil thoughts.
Verse 9 says, but if you have respect to person, you commit sin. When you start choosing, I'm just trying to help us out. You know, it's like, you know, I can't use that. I don't like using examples in real life. But, it's an example, I can't use it because it's a real life example. But I'm going to use what we do. I can't use that example. Let me keep going. But if you have respect to person, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor. If you become part, actually, It was someone that's not in church. We were out of town. And this person was in desperate need to get to the hospital. And I think we were in Atlanta, right, Paul? I believe it was. We were in Atlanta. We called around Troy. Now, a lot of people say, I just got in, I can't do this. Okay, call somebody else. Right? When someone is in need, and they need to get to the hospital, no matter what you just did, right? Unless you are infirm yourself. I mean, this was a desperate situation. We called and called. Some people we could get, some people we couldn't get. And it's so long ago that most of y'all don't even know who it is. But the problem we had is we couldn't get anybody to take the person to the hospital to the point that we would just pay a taxi for them to get to the hospital when they were in any emergency situation. If we were here, we would have done it. But because it wasn't our close friend, or because it wasn't somebody who really was faithful, there's a whole lot of people that ain't faithful in church that call us and we help them out. You know, I do it because I always want to ask with a clear conscience before God. I don't want God to say, well, you didn't do it for them, right? But we pick and choose way too much because of who people are. Because of their clout, because of their position. Oh, I'll do it for this one, but I won't do it for that one. God, this is what God says. He said, everything you have it because of me.
Amen.
Everything we have, God has loaned it to us. We don't own anything. And I heard a pastor saying that they were dealing with some transportation issues in his church, and he said, somebody said, well, I'm going to pick this one up, but I won't pick that person up. And the pastor said, wait a minute. God bless you with that nice vehicle. And you said you'll pick this one up, that you won't pick that one up. He said, don't you know that was loaned to you from the Lord? Right? Now, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about what I heard a pastor say. But if you don't do it, you become partial. And you become the judge of, all right, I'm going to finish this up. But I'm just saying, we want to be a God's friend, but we won't do what he says to do.
Yes.
We pick and choose.
Yes.
Right? We'll do it for so-and-so, but I won't do it for that one. All of us are God's children, aren't we?
Yes.
So how do we choose which God child we should do for and not do for?
Yes.
Amen? He said, for whosoever shall keep the
whole law.
The what?
Whole law.
Whole law and yet offend in. You can do everything perfect and offend at one point and say he is guilty of all. And tonight, I'm only asking us to check ourselves out. Because the Bible said if we would judge ourselves, we would have no need to be judged. Amen. The scripture said we ought to examine ourselves to see whether or not we're walking in the faith or not. It's not up to me to judge you. This is up to you to judge you. Amen. For he has said, do not, for he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against what does it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and have not
works?
If a brother or sister be
naked.
Now we just talk about this is God is trying to get us not to be partial. Right? Not to pick and choose. Naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it but doth the profit? Even so then, faith without
works
is dead. And we're going to close in Proverbs chapter 3. Let's go to the latter part of Proverbs chapter 3. We're trying to get rid of all this partial judgment. And even in people coming to church, visitors, we cannot be partial. Right? We can't be partial in our judgment. Now, all my grandkids, I take care of all my grandkids, but I still be nice to other kids too. Right? Zoe and pumpkin faced babies. I be nice to them. But I'm still friendly and nice to other people, babies as well. Because I cannot be partial. But they don't have the same place. Alright? But I'm not partial. Amen. Let's go to the verse. We're going to go to verse 27. Verse 27. Amen. Now we're talking about when you have a choice. There are times when we can't do. But when you can do and do not do because of your partiality, the Bible says that is a transgression. Amen. 27 reads, withhold not good from them to whom it is
due.
When it is in
power of thine hand to do it.
You can do it, but you won't do it because of who they are. And it's good. Amen. Not bad. You're supposed to be doing what? Good. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again tomorrow. I will give when thou hast it. Are y'all with me? It's in your power to do good, but you won't do it just because of who they are. And your neighbor comes to you and they indeed, and you say, come again tomorrow, but you can do it today just because you want to be in charge. The Bible says it's wrong. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he. There are some people that have been so wounded by whatever's happened in life. When they get someone that would be friendly, they look for a friend. If they feel secure by you, don't you wound them or drive them away because that's not what you particularly like or what you want to do. That's wrong. That's sin. You cannot be a friend of God acting ugly. You with me? Strive not with a man. Don't just create a whole bunch of foolishness. There's no real reasoning behind it. If he had done thee,
no harm.
All we're trying to be is a friend of God. And Jesus said, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Envy thou not the oppressor and choose not of his ways. For the Lord is an God says, God detests ugly. God detests when you just want to be in charge because of who you are, and you can do the right and the good thing, but because you're in charge, you say, come tomorrow, I'll think about it. Bible said, that's an abomination. But his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorner, but he giveth
grace unto the
lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And in closing, let's go to Proverbs chapter 18, and we're going to read verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24. We're talking about being a friend, right? We're talking about doing good to all men.
Amen.
How do we decide who to do good to and who not to do good to? Right? You're supposed to do good to all men because we are the light of the world. We are a city that's set up on a hill that cannot set up on a hill that cannot be. So everybody is watching you agape saints. How do you act? Now all of us have some bad days, but we should never have bad days with visitors.
That's right. Amen.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
We should never have bad days with visitors because you never get a second chance to make a first impression. Right, so somebody said, I won't come back to that church. Those people are mean spirited. Right? We don't act mean. Don't y'all act mean. Right? You know when a rattlesnake on a hot day will bite you in a hurry? Well, there ain't you be no rattlesnake in church. Right? We shouldn't be so snappy and, sometimes I just wonder, I don't know how people call themselves people of God can be so mean and nasty acting. And I'm not just talking about to adults, I'm talking about to children too. God never give us permission to act ugly. And then we're supposed to be the friend of God, and we're supposed to do whatsoever he commands, and we act ugly. But verse 24 says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And then a friend, well, we know the friend that's sick and closer than a brother is Jesus. Now, a lot of people misquote this scripture. And when I was studying, I said, that can't be right. Right? He that will have friends must show himself
friendly.
That just kind of sounds like you're supposed to be out friendly getting people to be friends, right? Isn't that what it's saying, Clint? Everything in the scripture is not faith value. What the beginning of this means is if you have too many friends, that will lead to your destruction. If somebody said, I don't believe that, but just go look it up in the Hebrews because I didn't believe it either. Alright, well I look at that, wait a minute, this guy is mistranslating this. So I went to all these different translations, one says ruin, one says destruction. He said, if you have too many friends and it's not of a godly nature, it will lead to your ruin or to your destruction. So you're trying to win a whole lot of friends. Well, the reason that it's leading to your ruin or to your destruction is because it's friends for the wrong reason. That's why I said there's a friend that's sticking. That friend is a real friend. All of these other friends are not real friends. Amen? So if you try to get too many friends for the wrong reason, it will wind up leading to your... Y'all can go read it yourself. I know y'all won't believe that anyway. All right? Because I've been hearing that. I use it all the time too. He that has friends with yourself?
Friendly.
Right? So what do you mean? You want to have friends? Be friendly. No, I said don't go around trying to get too many of the wrong friends. Is what it really means. Don't try to get too many of the wrong friends because it will lead to your destruction. It will ruin you because the focus won't be on the main thing.
Amen.
You're trying to win friends when we should try to win Christ, as we all said. Tonight, would God call you a friend? Would God call you a friend? Not me. Would God call you a friend? Now, Jesus said, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I, as the elders and the ministers come forward. We're living in challenging times because too many people have developed a personal salvation. In developing a personal salvation, we pick and choose what we will do. Well, the Bible says this. How many know Jesus says something pretty much big on this? Jesus said, you're my disciples if you do whatsoever I command you. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples indeed, the what? Love that you have one for another. If God was to examine our love one for another, tonight would he call us a disciple? Would he call us a friend? This is a internal search. This is an internal examination. My greatest desire tonight, Lord, is to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithful means all the way across the board. You cannot pick and choose. Will God call you?